Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Timmy Stronta, and you're listening to MMALatestNews.com.
It's time to roll, baby.
Yes, everybody, this is MMA Latest. This is the Fighting Out of Manchester podcast when Brendan decides that he's going to fucking live in his country again. All right, brother. Where have you been for five fucking months?
Happy New Year, mate.
Well, happy Halloween, happy birthday, happy Thanksgiving, happy fucking birthday, Jesus, happy New Year's Eve.
I've not seen you that long. I thought I'd put a shirt on, mate.
I know, innit?
I didn't know where our relationship was.
Fuck. How have you been?
Oh, fucking hell, what a time, mate.
Well, I'm in a WhatsApp group that would end lives with you at the minute.
Let's not discuss that WhatsApp group. but yeah, it's been a fucking...
In fact, you put the link in there. I'm going to put the link in there.
It's been a roller coaster, mate, to say the least. Left here in September and only came back a few days ago.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've actually come back yet.
Yeah, no, my head's all over the place. Are you right? Look at me. Wow. But yeah, no, good times. Let's go through the start to the finish. Obviously, I got to America in September. Went straight to have my first fight for PFL, where I fought Matthew Weger at Mandalay Bay.
Good fight.
Yeah, nah, this guy was shite.
Well, it was a good fight, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got to kind of show my full array of MMA.
Which one's which? Coffees.
Yeah, so that was fighting at Mandalay Bay was totally surreal. And I thought it'd be an experience that was never going to get topped until you fight at Madison Square Garden.
Well, we've gone on about it for ages, won't we? That is one of the homes of fighting. It might even pretty much be the home of fighting in the world. I mean, Vegas has took over Madison Square Garden recently in terms of a vibe, but as a venue, as a single venue, there's MGM's not above Madison Square Garden. There's no one above a single...
Tell you what the maddest thing is. Even now, thinking about it now, how mad is this, right? I walked into... Madison Square Garden, me and my coach, Eric Del Fiero and Dominic Cruz all walked in together, which was surreal in itself. All of us walked over in all our gear. You walk in, it says Lochnane on the changing room. So you walk in, next thing, sit down, and you get a towel, and you get a letter with your name on, right?
Oh, yeah, I saw you take a picture of that.
So you open this letter, and you're bearing in mind, you're in Madison Square Garden, you've got the big mirror and the lights on the mirror, and... you open up this letter and inside it says, so your name's on it, it says, to Brendan, congratulations for making it to the biggest arena on earth. Enjoy your night tonight and all that. I was like, head fell off, but it's funny, you know, because I had someone you love, Lewis Capaldi, playing, I had like a thing going, and that just come on, right? Check this, is a
funny
song.
You fucking crumbled.
No, listen. I read the letter, Dom was sat there in the lap, right? And I went, fucking hell, it's getting me emotional, man. It's this fucking stupid song you've got on. Oh, true story.
Yeah, like, who's your fucking changing room DJ? Yeah. Someone needs to sort that. Fucking
nah, he was on shuffle, mate. And Lewis Capaldi was on while I was reading it. Oh, funny story.
So, Madison Square Garden, did it live up to the expectation of fighting at the Garden?
And beyond, yeah. And beyond, mate. Unbelievable. Something I'll take to the grave. No one will ever take it away from me. And yeah, me, like, having my family there, my mum and dad, I had obviously Dom in my corner, I had my coach from day one. I just had, mate, 40 people flew out, as you know, from the WhatsApp group that I put you in. And it was just chaos, mate.
I wish I could have been there. I really do. Yeah. I absolutely wish I could have been there. I was thinking, fucking hell, the chances of him fighting there again is very, very...
Nah, what do you mean? I'll be fighting there for the meet next year.
Not on a New Year's Eve, it won't be.
Yeah, they do it every year, the
really?
Finals there.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, the final, yeah.
All right, fair play.
Well, that's what I like about PFL as well. Fair play to him, because when we signed this contract with him, you know, I said, I want to be on these two cards before the end of the year, which no one else was. It was six championship fights and me.
Yeah.
And they fucking did it.
Yeah, they did. Well, they do seem to deliver on whatever you've asked for.
Yeah, man.
And actually, the broadcast, I mean, I don't know if you've watched any of the fight yet, no. So the broadcast had this thing at the bottom. They kept calling it a smart cage, and it was getting a bit like, all right, relax, because it's not really a smart cage, is it? But they had stats in the bottom of the screen, so they could see how many times you'd throw. Yeah, it was head strikes, body strikes, stuff like that, all the way through. It was just on the bottom of the screen, so every time you threw one, it was going up. Landed and, you know, thrown and landed, which is going up and
what
down.
What do you think of PFL? Can they compete?
Well, I mean, you've got to be able to have a couple of people that are considered the number one in their division.
Yeah.
And
Rory McDonald? That's a big...
That's a signing. Now, that's a guy that can definitely go. And you're in the mix as well. You know my thoughts on that anyway.
Yeah.
Rory McDonald's a name that actually people
they needed,
go,
yeah.
If they got someone like Pitbull from Bellator,
yep.
If they pulled someone, I mean, like the way Benson Henderson jibbed over at Bellator, people were still like, oh, hang on, what's going on here? Like, so they need a couple of people that are household names, but not 55 years of age.
There's a massive topic now that's going to come up a lot more in MMA. Like, I've had this conversation with a few people that it seems to be in MMA now, there's two paths you can choose. You either want to be famous or you want to make money. There's only two. There's no crossover, really, unless you're a Darren Till.
The UFC is the famous ones.
Yeah. And
unless you're going for the gold.
Yeah.
And there's only one guy who wears the gold at a time. And that's the beauty and the curse of the sport, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's like, how important is it to be famous to you? And how important is it to make money? Because I'm telling you now, I'm making more than double. Three times as much as I would have made in the UFC right now. And would I change it now? No, I wouldn't. And it's like, I never thought that at the time. But now looking back, it is about the money. I'm 30 years old now. And I still got a great platform. These are still on ESPN. They're still all around the world, still fighting in the best arenas, which it wouldn't have mattered if it wasn't. It's like, someone's got to pay the mortgage. Someone's got to pay kids to go to school. Someone's got to do all that. And it's all well and good. I'm in the UFC or I'm in all these other organisations and you're just not getting the paycheck to go with it. So
it's not even just not getting a paycheck. Sometimes it's not even fighting.
I know.
Some people just don't fight.
I know.
Anywhere near regular enough in some of these other organisations. You know, what was it, a 5-fight deal you signed with these guys?
7 fights.
When was it you signed it? In
just
summer?
In just over 12 months, July, October.
That's keeping you fucking busy.
It's unheard of.
And that's what it's
all
about, mate.
You're lucky to get 3 a year. 2 if you.
Lucky.
2's about right. 3, you're like, wow, I've been paid this year.
Yeah.
So to get 7 in 12 months, mate, you're like, wow, where do I sign?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an ongoing battle in MMA now. Because I guarantee you, no other organisations ringing you up and going, we'll give you 7 fights and good dough. They're not, apart from PFL. No. So for someone like me who's a veteran now, ACB, UFC, PFL, and you know all these Bammer. I fought in all of them now. And for this, for me, this, I like PFL. I like PFL a lot. I mean, I'll tell you another story. A lot of people asking about this Mike Tyson thing and what happened there. So I'm in the Mandalay Bay, just fought. I'm in the back. Louis comes in with his phone, puts Tyson Fury on FaceTime, right? So I'm getting stitched up. I got all cuts over here. So get stitched up and he's like, hey boy, and all that, how are you? He's like, good job tonight and all that. And then, so I'm like, yeah, how you doing? He was in Vegas, he had a Budweiser, I had a Budweiser. Oh, I had a drink and he had a Budweiser, we got a Corona. Like, cheers at each other. And he's like, I'll come over there and have a beer. And I goes, but I've got a flight at 6 in the morning. So he, you know, it kind of clashed a bit.
I thought you'd gone clean.
half a beer then. So anyway, next thing, the owner of PFL comes in. Into the room, he's an Irish guy, Peter Murray, sound really, really good guy, really great guy to fight for. So Peter Murray comes in, I went, yeah, I just had Tyson on FaceTime, and he's gone, he sat next door, he thought I meant Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He went, he's sat in the next room, do you want to meet him? So I'm like, what? So he said, yeah, come next door and meet him. And I was like, fuck. So I went, yeah, sweet. So like all my team have come to walk me, and he's like, nah, just you. So I went, all right, sweet. So he's in like some executive boxing.
Of course he is.
So yeah.
It's fucking Mike Tyson.
So walked in, right? No joke. Got in. Mike Tyson sat there. And he's going, hey, Mike, this is our new guy. We've got big things for him. And da da da. So he jumps up. How you doing, man? I just watched your fight, man. I'm like, what the fuck? This is weird.
You need to be like, can someone record all of this, please? Because I'm not going to
remember. That is what I did. You laugh at this.
Fuck.
So he's absolutely stoned out of his mind. He can hardly see me. He's like stoned. Do you know what I mean?
He's got his own ranch or something.
Exactly. You can tell he's just blazing out. So then we're talking. And he's like, hey, Mike. He said, have you got any work? He went, listen, man. He's like, you from England? He went, they fucking love fighting. He went, you need to just get all of them on side. I went, yeah, I'm doing it. That's the plan. And he's like, hey. Anyway, I'm walking out. I thought, fucking didn't ask for a picture. Right? So, what, fuck it. Jump out. I went, any chance? He went, yeah, of course, man. Jumps back up for the picture. And then, yeah, mate, that was fucking surreal, obviously.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah, so I met Tyson Fury. Well, I spoke to Tyson Fury and then met Mike Tyson.
Did he not come out for a bit, no?
No, he didn't come, no.
Not bad. Can we get money, please?
Let me down. We owe him
Tyson.
He owes me a beer.
He follows me, but I fucking hit him up and be like, yo, fans coming on a podcast. He was like, not doing press. And I'm like, I'm not press, mate. Like, this isn't press. And then just nothing.
So yeah, what a fucking surreal couple of months it's been, mate. So,
yeah, because you've fucked off. And like, the plan was, you was on, I think you said, I'm going to do 2 weeks in LA and Vegas after the Wagyu fight. Yeah. And then I'll be home. And then that just went out the window.
Well, what happened was, I spoke to my coach back in England. I said, look, just had this fight. I ended up going to Dom's, training there again, ended up settling into camp. And it was like, yeah, you kind of have to scramble around for training, mate. I had to fucking...
The partners.
Yeah, partners and all different places, driving to all different places, whereas the Lions, it's under one roof.
Right.
So Jeremy was in camp. There was a couple other guys in camp. So like, it was a good time to be there. And they were like, look, why don't you just fucking stay for this camp? And I thought, you know what? The fight's over here anyway. I've got my gaff sorted over there. I've got top level training partners. I just thought, you know what? I'm here now. Might as well just see it out. And it turned out to be a great camp. Fucking hell. I felt flawless in there. That's the most comfortable I've ever felt in a cage.
Do you know what? I was bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like you just weren't the same fucking level.
Yeah.
It was almost boring. Like, I think I tweeted a thing at the time. First round, 10-8.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a bit disappointed when it was 30-27, to be honest. I thought it was a 10-8 round in there, to be honest.
Yeah.
If you look at what the criteria is meant to be.
I'm in this battle now. I'm in this constant battle with people. You should be finishing, bro. Should be doing. Listen. My paycheck does not change at the end, regardless of if the guy's knocked out or he's not knocked out. So I ain't in there to take stupid risks anymore. I'm going to put on a flawless display of mixed martial arts.
In that third, Connor had said to you, hadn't he? Like, fucking, he's got nothing for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Put him away. But then he came out just with wild shit, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and you can, we haven't even spoken about this yet, have we? So like, I think you planned on trying to finish him in the third, but the way he came out, you probably just went, fuck that noise.
Yeah, I mean, the plan was to just up the pressure each round slow. Same as they did with Wager. Now, as you get to this level...
I don't know how you didn't finish him, by the way.
I don't know what shots he took, mate.
Fucking hell.
The thing is with these guys, this is their big chance. This guy's from Nova and Yao. He's a poor guy.
Oh, one sec. Floating man in the comments says, is this live or pre-recorded? It's pre-recorded, mate.
Is it? Floating man.
Do you know what? That's going to go well over some people's head, that, innit?
Yeah.
Never mind. No, it's live, you fucking idiot. Yeah.
What was I saying then? So, yeah, he's from Nova and Yao. He's Aldo's training partner. He's a big, like, and it's like, right, this is your big chance, MSG. Brendan, everyone expects him, like, can you do it? So, for me, the pressure was on me, not him. Do you know what I mean? Especially when I'm fully in control of the fight. Mm.
And the third, mate, he was winging that right hand with he didn't give a fuck whether he had to take one to try and hit. Like, yeah.
And not only that Peter Murray, who owns PFL, sat there smiling ear to ear. First fight and second fight. He's my boss. He's happy. I'm happy. No cuts, no bruises. Out of there. Yeah. Let's on to the next one. And that's all that matters. But I'm in this middle ground now, people, because of this Dana bullshit. You should be finishing, bro. I don't give a fuck. I don't care about finishing.
Do you know what? Dana
I'm
going to
be a millionaire
next
year. I'm going to be a millionaire this year. And guess what? Don't have to finish one person. Who cares?
And actually, we've already fucking said this. Being able to go safe and go the distance in a tournament format is better than, like, if you fucking steam in there, take a fucking elbow to the nose or whatever. I don't know elbows in PFL anyway, is it? But, like, if you take a silly risk and get opened, like, that's the fucking next fight. Gone.
Yep.
For nothing.
I can easily keep people at the end of my reins now. I feel comfortable doing it. Even had a guy there, like you say, who had another guy who had probably had 10 pounds on me again, but can easily just keep him at the end of my reins, pick him off, and I'll do it all day. And then I want to find the guy that's going to come and get past that ranger. This Lance Palmer and all these that are going to... Let's do it then, let's see.
I'm interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying, like, all right, I should be finishing him. Yeah, but you should be even touching me. You aren't even getting a punch on me. All right then, so...
Oh, mate, the stats from that last fight, because of the smart cage thing they kept going on about, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was.
It was like, fucking hell. I think he landed 18.
I thought I'd just take the piss and take him down at the end just to show again.
Did he land 18 strikes in a fight?
You know what they were as well? When I was on top of him and he was like hitting
up. Right. Sorry, mate. 18 fucking strikes. I reckon I could land two on you in 15 minutes.
It's pretty hard, you know.
I know, but give me 15 minutes. I'll get you eventually. Or even I'll just hit you loads when you're on top of me.
Listen, Muhammad Ali said it years ago. The art of fighting is to hit and don't get hit.
Of course it is.
Yeah, they don't pay us enough. So if I can go 15 minutes without taking a shot, guess what? I'm going to do it.
Not, basically like one punch a minute.
Yeah.
Good work,
not
mate.
Bad, is it?
Not bad.
Do you know what? It's turned into a bit of a weirdo. It's a good job you didn't hear the audio, but when the fight gets released, have a look in that third round. I took him down, and I don't know why, mate. It felt like I used to do this when I was an amateur, lick my blood off my gloves and all, like a weirdo. But when I know, don't. But when I fucking, when I put him down on the floor, listen, I started going, do you fucking like this, do you? And all that, boom, the proper Manchester came out of me and pinning him. And I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Yeah, proper went weird, mate. Wait till you get the audio of that poor blog. I know. So like, do you like this, do you? He didn't even speak English. And his gum shield kept falling out. And I just started fucking all over him. There's a ground and pound towards the end where, because he was smiling from the bottom and like pissed me off, mate. And I was like, yeah, you better not be enjoying this. I wanted him to hate every second of it.
All right, we need to have a word.
Sending out a message there. So these other fuckers that think they're taking my million.
Ahmed in the comments says he's Kane at Tiger now. Him and Mo are out there, aren't they, at the minute?
Yeah, yeah, buzzing. Kane's finally got out there and, you know, he's going to see what real hard training is now. Tiger, still to this day, is the hardest gym that I've ever trained at. It's got some absolute... Look at Volkanovski. It's got Peter Yan.
Did he speak English out there? It's got shouting you in Thai.
Yeah, no.
Every fucking clip I've ever seen, just people getting shouted at in Thai.
Brilliant out there. I'm so happy for him. And he said he's having a great time. So, yeah. You know what? I've got a few things that I've got to sort out here. Or I'll be there with him, to be honest.
Are you going to go... Well, what's the plan? So it's probably about 5 months before the tournament kicks off. What are you thinking?
So I'll tell you what's weird. It's the first time in my career that I've actually had some time off.
That's why you've been on a piss for a week.
Yeah, that's why I fucking just literally parted. But
no, it's days.
Yeah, that's proper caught up on me. But it's the first time I've actually got time off, and it feels really weird. Usually, like I did a whole year of like fucking starving to death. Maybe I'll get a phone call, maybe I won't. Now I know when I've got my five fights. Yeah. So for me, I don't even want to look at a gym till at least mid-Jan. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about it. I had 3 fights in 4 months last year. Body felt it towards the end, especially if, three fingers, 3 weight cuts, 366 weight cuts, not they're hard on the body too. So giving my body a real chance to recover, even though partying doesn't help. But I'm giving it a chance to rest and stay away from MMA a bit. So this January is going to be focused on stuff like this.
Chilling.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking for the camp, for the tournament? What are you thinking? San Diego, Manchester, a bit of Thailand maybe?
I'm going to cross that bridge when it comes. I mean, right now I'm just kind of chilling out. Like I say, I'm focusing on things in England. I'm going to be here for a bit, trying to sort things out. It's hard when you live this life, because it's hard to like keep relationships for so long. Like even like this thing that we started, it's hard to keep... To get something...
It is when you fuck off to San Diego for 5 months.
To get something going and to keep it consistent when you know that you're still in competition and, you know, there's a good chance you'll be away from
it. Here's what'll happen, right? I'll let you win the million.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Start it properly.
And then you can just fly me wherever you are.
We'll do it on the flip, but yeah. Fucking hell, mate.
James got a good comment in there. He says, PFL got any plans to do cards over in the UK? That would bank.
No, they have.
Ooh.
They have. Ooh. PFL are moving next year. They're going to be in Brazil, Mexico, and they're going to be, yeah, hopefully the UK.
Oh, Mexico. I wouldn't mind watching an MMA fight in Mexico.
Imagine the MEN.
Fucking mental. Oh, yeah.
Me and Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Ooh. Why not, mate? They're really on side. And Joey Wells, big shout out to our management as well. Abe and Malky. Same guys that have John Jones, Masvidal, and all them. They've helped a lot. Since I signed with them straight after the contender, you know, they're the one that pushed to get me them 2 fights. They went well out the way to get me them 2 fights. So I know they're watching this and they always watch the shit I'm doing. So big shout out to them too. They've helped a lot. And I'm really excited going into this year. 3 wins back to back. Didn't lose a round last year. Absolutely torching people. And
3 really good performances.
I mean, the contender... I got into a bit of a dogfight. I should have kept it a bit cleaner, but...
I probably enjoyed that fight the most because I think he was testing you the most.
Yeah, I agree.
And I saw the best you in that fight? Because I think we spoke afterwards, didn't we, about the fucking head movement that we saw in there. Not seen anything like that in the last two fights because he's not needed it.
Yeah, well, because he was tall. You know, he was, what, 6 foot? So I had to kind of move it a bit. But the other two, I felt like I grew a lot in that fight too. I felt like I grew a lot. And then I took that into the next few fights. I just think it really sets me up good for next year now for the tournament. I mean, 19-3 now. What have I not seen?
Yeah, there's an element of this happens when you get people that are starting to go on that sort of title charge. They go, this is going to be a fucking test for you. You watch. And then you smoke them and they go, he was shit, right? Then watch the next one. The next one, you're going to see this is going to be a test and you fucking smoke him. He was a can, right? No matter. You're in that vibe at the minute where no matter who they put up against you, there's hype beforehand and then there's shit afterwards, right?
I make people look shite. Like, I'll give you an example. That guy I fought in the contender, he went to Alliance, mate, and was doing very well there. And they were all saying to me, no way you're fighting him. Fucking hell, he's good.
When Conor went on his tear through the UFC, right?
Holloway, Poirier.
Holloway was what I was about to say, right? Holloway is a fucking fighter. Right? He's a fucking athlete and a fighter. And a lad as well. One of the best podcasts. You see him on Joe Rogan? One of the best podcasts ever. He's brilliant.
Fucking mint he is.
But he made him look ordinary.
Yeah.
With no ACL. Just
mate,
made him
listen,
look ordinary.
Let's talk about that fight, please. Now you've brought Conor up.
What, next week's?
How do you see it going?
I think Cowboy's got too many miles on the clock.
Yeah, I do. Fair play to Cowboy. I'm really happy he's finally getting a payday, mate.
Yeah, this will be big though, this, won't it?
Fuck me, does he deserve it.
Yeah.
He's been round the block. He's fought everyone, 170, 155. Fought everyone, short notice.
Yeah, oh, short notice? There's no shorter notice. He'd be there in his RV out the back like that. Yeah,
I just don't get the mentality behind him. Why he just don't give a fuck?
Why wasn't he in the contention light? He's literally got the bad motherfucker ranch, but he wasn't up for the bad motherfucker belt. That's his belt.
Shit, that's true. That's true, but I just see Conor too sharp, too precise with that left straight. We've seen Cowboy struggle with southpaws before. But I think he's
too quick.
I do hope it turns into a dogfight.
Oh, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? I don't think it will be. I actually think it'll probably be quite one-sided for Conor, I think. And I don't think anyone that's a real MMA fan,
I know.
There's a place in your heart that Cowboy occupies and will always occupy because of the way that he dunked you.
Do you know what I hate? The way they're not bigging him up.
Who, Cowboy?
Yeah, he's had no big up in this whole...
But there's been no press about it. Conor fights in, what is it, 10 days? 10 days? I think, 10 days.
When have we ever heard? Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to move on any of the channels where it's going on. I don't know. I think Conor just went, I'm not doing press.
Wow, interesting.
It's 10 days away. Normally you can't move. Remember the Aldo one? You couldn't pick up a British newspaper and not find out about it. But this, fucking nothing.
Cowboy's not said now. He's not said now. They've not gone back and forth. There's been no pre-fight hype.
Nothing. There's not been no shit talk at all. It's crazy. Although, to be fair, one tweet from Conor is done, isn't it?
What did he say?
Well, no, I mean, if he does one tweet.
What, just to start it up again?
Yeah.
Fire it up. Wow. Yeah, I'm interested to see it, but I see Cerrone is typically a very, very slow starter. Conor's typically a very fast starter. He's very good with that left straight. He's very good with his angles. Listen, mate, Conor McGregor is one of the best MMA fighters of all time. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. You can all say what you want.
Do you think he gets underrated because of the circus around him a bit?
The thing with the guy in the pub... that, you know, he lost a lot of respect for a lot of people through stuff like that. And let's put all that to one side. Same with John Jones. All I can judge someone on is, as a mixed martial artist, is when the cage doors close, forget about what they do outside the cage. He is one of the best mixed martial artists I've ever seen fight, ever, to this day. The way he gets in and out of range, his takedown defense, the way he mixes his kicks, the way his head movement and the way he picks his shots, the power in his hands. There's a lot of variables to what he's doing. A lot of people underestimate beating Jose Aldo, beating Dustin Poirier, beating Max Holloway. These are like the best names and they were all in the prime. So I don't care what anyone says. Conor McGregor is one of the best MMA fighters of all time. However, Donald Cerrone will spoil a party and has spoiled many a party. He's a tough cunt. And
this is one, isn't it? He's got it in him.
He will have it, mate, as well. He's not shook. He's not going to be... Typically, the ones that we've seen shook, Poirier, all them, they get clipped in the fight. So Cerrone won't be shook in a fight. He's fought all the best guys. Like I say, he doesn't get involved in the media. Same what happened with Diaz and Conor. Diaz didn't get involved in the media, didn't get involved in the bullshit talk.
Conor, well, Cerrone could come like Diaz came and be a party pooper.
Listen, the longer it goes, the more it favours Cerrone. Let's not get it twisted, but I just can't see him giving him enough. But then I look at the fights with Alia Quinta and that other Hernandez. Is it called Hernandez? What's that 155 called young kid that he's beat recently and he head kicked him?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the kid was piecing him up early.
What's that?
You know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know the name.
Alex, whatever he's called.
Yeah, it's not Cesaris.
And I thought that kid
Alex
was...
Cesaris?
I thought that kid was going to steamroll Cerrone. And it just shows that every now and then he'll just literally turn up, mate, and you think, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah, and the reason that you've got that inconsistency with him is probably because he fights you in his fucking back garden on Alex Hernandez.
Alex Hernandez, let's see who else now.
But look at that, he's on a two-fight loss streak, but it's Gaethje.
The Gaethje was a bad one, though.
And Tony Ferguson.
Got starts.
Not exactly Muppets. And Leon Edwards, not exactly a fucking Muppet. I mean, right, just go through, right. Who has he lost to? Let's just only look at who he's lost to, let alone who he's beat. Lost to Jamie Varner, Benson Henderson, Nate Diaz, Anthony Pettis, RDA, Masvidal, Lawler, Till, Leon Edwards, Tony Ferguson, and Gaethje. What the fuck? That's a who's who. But yo, he's got big wins over Aya Quinta, Alex Hernandez, Mike Perry, Medeiros, Rick Story, Matt Brown.
Yeah, but you look at them names, they're all just standstill fighters.
Yeah.
All of them names.
He's got Benson in there, Miles Jury back in the day, not bad. Barbosa, Evan Dunham, KJ Nunes. I mean, we're getting old school here now, aren't we? Like with KJ
Stevens.
Melvin Gillard, Stevens. That was early in Jeremy's career, that one. Dennis Siver, and then obviously it gets random.
They could not have picked a better first fight back for Conor anyway.
No, and it is. I honestly think it's a. It's very one-sided for Conor.
Really? You think it's a total landslide?
I think he's just too many miles.
Even though it's at 170?
Four years ago, I think that probably favours Conor more. Because I think he ain't great with a weight cut.
I think he's better. I think his best days are at featherweight.
Yeah. I think him...
Aldo,
I think
Holloway,
well, yeah,
Poirier, they're all feathers.
155, he looked good.
55 against Alvarez was beat Conor.
That he hit him with that combo and you just kind of go...
He was in the Matrix.
Are you two the same thing? Because that's not fair.
Nah, he was in the Matrix, mate. I've never seen anything like that. Fair play to him. Who else on the card? Any good? I've heard it's not the best card.
It isn't the best card. There are some good fights on it, but it isn't the best card. Holly Holman, Raquel Pennington is number two and then it just falls off. That's it. You got Pettis and Carlos Diego Ferreira. No. So, yeah, it's not the best card in the slightest.
Wow.
There's people without even Wikipedia pages that's on it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like six people on the
Tell
card.
Tell you what is a fight on that card. Andre Feely and Sadiq Youssef.
He's good, him. That's Sadiq Youssef.
Very good. That is a great fight. Who have you got?
See, I don't know, because Feely's one of those, isn't it? Because he's been around, I don't know, forever. Let's have a look at when he debuted. 2009. Come on, brother.
Look at all the greens, though.
Yeah, some big fights there. And again, loss, Max Holloway, Pepe, Yair Rodriguez.
I know.
Calvin Kattar, fucking Michael Johnson. He's a weird one, isn't he, Michael Johnson? He's got some belting wins.
He literally flips a comb every once in a while.
Yeah, weird-ass losses. I mean, he's got some mint wins, but then look how many loss streaks he's gone on. It's crazy. But he's got some unreal, like Tony Ferguson.
Wow. How do we see that going? Because it's inevitable now. When Conor beats Cerrone, it's Ferguson next, isn't it? Oh, well, the winner of Ferguson and Khabib.
Yeah, I mean, look at the streak that he's on, right? Let's just have a look at this streak.
Wow, is that Tony's?
Yeah, so since October 2013, Mike Rio, Kikuno, Castillo, Trujillo, Tebow, Thompson, Barbosa, Venata, RDA. I mean, this is where it gets meaty now. From RDA, Kevin Lee, Pettis, and Cerrone. That's what you call earning a title shot.
He's a savage.
He's a total savage. That's outrageous.
Tony Ferguson, mate, he's a winner, innit?
Yeah.
Guys like him, they just find a way. And that's what, you know, there's guys that are like that out there. Like, you might not say, oh, Howie's going to win, but he will find a way.
Have you heard about Howie's liking him in the gym?
No, I.
Like, just don't the stop absolute training, cardio machine. Like, he's ADD to fuck, and he's just, even while everyone else is training, his rest time is training. He's just training.
I really don't understand about how this fight's going to go. You know, I can't play it out in my head with him.
He's getting stuck down. I think that's safe to say. I think he gets stuck down, but I think this is an interesting one. Is the threat of what Tony Ferguson's got on the bottom enough to make Khabib try and stand with him? Or does he take him down regardless?
I know he absolutely steamrolled Poirier, but there was a moment in that fight where Poirier grabbed a guillotine, and if he was a better jiu-jitsu guy and stronger...
Like maybe Tony Ferguson.
Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like I think I said it a few times. I think you've got Khabib beats Conor all day, 10 out of 10. I think Conor beats Tony all day, 10 out of 10. And I think Tony beats Khabib, but not all day and not 10 out of 10. I think that, and if the UFC was smart, they'd literally just roll it like that.
Yeah, just have a round.
Put that guy, yeah, and just put you, all right, you fight him next, and then you fight him next, and you lose to him, and you just, yeah, rather than go the other way around. Because, like, I think you could do that. And that would make money for all of them. You're all three of you in title fight rotation, like, every 6 months. It'd be fucking brilliant.
I'm really intrigued to how that's going to go, to be honest. It's the this guy who's a vulnerable guy that no one can beat, Khabib, da da da. But we've seen slight holes throughout his career of, like I say, I actually rewatched that fight the other day, and Poirier had that guillotine in, and it's just that he was so outdone by.
I think he was fucked, wasn't he?
Khabib, yeah.
I think it was a
Hail Mary guillotine, as we call him. Yeah. Whereas Tony ain't getting tired.
No. And and he's got a squeeze.
He'll pull them guillotines for five rounds.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see how it goes down, because then we'll find out. I mean, if Khabib walks him, like if he just smacks him out of the way, you go.
Which could happen.
Yeah, it could. It easily could.
We all forgetting Kevin Lee dumped him on his head and just mounted him like it was nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this is... if Khabib does that, and that's in his locker, that's on the table for it happening in this fight. Then
let's just hope they make it. What was it, the fifth time?
Yeah, fifth time.
Yeah, it's getting boring now. Come on, boys. We need the fight.
We do need the fight, don't we? We needed it 2 years ago, to be fair.
So he's on that card. Is that a decent card?
Savaganda.
And what date is that?
It's fairly soon. I don't think it's the next pay-per-view.
Wow, there's a lot happening, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a lot happening, mate.
When is it? Is it on that? It's not on Jones and Reyes, is it?
Have you got on that? I just don't see Jones losing, do you?
No.
How can you ever see him losing?
No.
He was close
not
last
to a human.
Time, he was close last time, though.
But not to a fucking human, I don't see him
that
losing.
That guy broke his leg, mate, and carried on.
Not to a... internet's just absolutely shit out. Typical.
But yeah, John Jones and Reyes. Just can't see this Jones. Jones is the greatest mixed martial artist I've ever seen in my life.
Well, yeah, you and everyone else.
Eh?
You and everybody else. Like, there's no one even in contention. All right, let's try and think of someone who could go in contention with him.
Yeah.
GSP? Maybe?
Yeah.
You put him in there together, though, he's getting murdered.
Yeah, I know.
Anderson? Peak Anderson? I'd love to see it, but he's getting his ass tucked down. Yeah, when we saw what Chael Sonnen was able to do to him on the ground, what the fuck do you think John Jones is going to do?
Yeah, greatest I've ever seen. All facets of mixed martial arts, he stand up, then he'll just go and sub you. Then he'll do, you know what I mean? You think, how's he doing it?
It's almost not fair how good he is. Is it 248? It's 248, isn't it?
Who's that, Khabib?
Yeah, I think so.
People just aren't jumping out of...
In New York.
Is it?
In April.
We've got ages, haven't we?
Shit, yeah. I thought it was a lot closer than that.
People aren't jumping at the fact to see Khabib fight, though, are they?
They should be. It's not quite Tyson Days. It's not as exciting. It isn't as exciting. Whether or not you can appreciate the skill and the methodology, and you know, I know you can, but like, you still got to go watch it. Do you not dig it? I know you're not going to... It's not exciting, but there's only two fights concerned. Jacare and Uriah Hall, that's it. I can't believe they give him so long.
You know what they should do with them two? Have to cancel the fight four times. Go, right, he's a fighting next week.
Yeah, you're fighting now, go.
Yeah, because...
yeah, just call a press conference have John McCaffrey.
It's been silly now, fucking five times.
Yeah, five.
You know what I mean? Times. Five times it's been cancelled, this fight.
Right, sum up 2019 for you. Three fights, three wins. The up and down of getting on the contender, winning, and getting fucked about by that ball
twat. Yeah, yeah. It's a good question, that. I mean, waited out till June for a chance. Got a chance. Went in there, laid my heart on there. Fucking gave me a really tough fight. And it really tested me. And I was really proud of the way I fought in that fight and got the win. Then to be let down like that was like the most heartbreaking thing I've ever been through in my whole life. Literally had to reassess what the fuck I was doing. Because imagine I spent 7 years to get back to that a position where I could have that fight and show my skills.
Yeah.
Got there, did that, and I was like, wow, fuck, it's over for me. And it was literally over for me. In my head, it was over. And I was like, this is all I wanted. And it was like, I had to go and reassess.
Right, at that moment, let's just take you back to that. Let's pause there for a second. If you stop fighting there and then, what the fuck are you doing then?
It's a good question, mate.
Because I don't think modelling's on the cards, lad.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, you know. We're a joke. Yeah, I'm a fighter through and through. Everyone knows me as a fighter. But listen, you can't do this your whole life. And you got to look at other things, especially when you're touching a 30 mark. It's time to just start thinking, well, what else is going on in my life? You know, I'm starting to get into property now and a few other things. This thing, for example, I like doing media stuff. I love doing stuff like this as well. I've got other interests. Just not other interests that are strong enough yet to be able to walk away from MMA.
And find a whole new career. Like, this is literally all you've known since a teenager.
16, yeah.
So, like, yo, I can't imagine you ever fucking walking into an office with a fucking briefcase. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's not well, you, is it, lad?
Well, so. Yeah, I mean, I had an accident cleaning company for a few years. That made me some good money. I've always dabbled. I had a gym. You know, I've always had my hands in loads of different pies and always enjoyed other things as well, but this has always been my passion. So to be able to get to that position and be let down... since then, there's been a number of things that I've been told why the reasons were, and there was a lot more going on behind the scenes than everyone really knows, because that's why it was such a shocker to everyone, because you don't have Ariel Helwani and Luke Thomas and all them like doing big shows on this thing like over something that was, you know what I mean? Like, they knew. So it was like a total reassessment. Wow, what the fuck do I do from here? And then obviously I had all them offers on the table, and then to bounce back from that to these two wins... to fighting in the two most famous arenas on earth from the point of stopping just shows me, like, when you are at the point of stopping, sometimes the diamond is there at the end.
Yeah.
Like, you seen that picture, haven't you, where the guys had the diamonds right there? That was nearly me turning back around with a pitchfork and getting off. Mm. So I'm proud of myself, mate. Like, when I got to Alliance.
Sometimes though, that's not the case. And sometimes you are just digging in shit.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, I don't think that was the case there. But I can put myself in your shoes there at that point, and, you know, knowing that you fought at all these different organizations, you fought all over the fucking world, and the UFC was always the fucking goal, because the goal is to prove where you are in the world, ultimately. So I can imagine it felt like a loss.
Well, let's get this right.
It was a fucking resounding victory that felt like a loss because of the result.
Let's get this right, though. I was drafted into the UFC at 21 years of age. Inexperienced, 4-0, 5-0, fighting Norman Park, fighting all these guys at 155. He was some of the best 55ers in the world.
Mm. Norman Park's massive as well.
They doubled my size and giving him sick fights. So for me, I was kicked out then at a young age, and it took me 7 years of learning my craft, traveling the world, fighting Pat Healy, fighting Wilkerson, fighting all these Duke and Wah, going around learning my craft. And it took me 7 years to get myself in a position to put myself in front of them again. And then to go there with Cruz in my corner, give me a tough fight, perform the way I did.
You're thinking everything's just lined up here? You know, even things like having Dominic in the corner, it doesn't affect the result.
Rashford, Fury, Lingard.
It doesn't affect, think everything just lined nice, didn't it? And then he's like,
Everything in my head was done.
Which is like, when you've got an expectation of what's going to happen. You get your hand raised at the end of it. It was for me, it was your performance of the year last year. And he's like, nah, I can't imagine. The rage that you've been like, fuck you all the way.
I couldn't
off.
Believe it, mate. And especially after seeing the other people that were on the show with me and watching,
some of the people that got picked up.
One guy took a low kick and fell over. And I went, wow. So to watch that and then that Puna, we watched him go to a 3-round decision, gas out, kind of like hold on to the guy, and then apparently he was the killer. And I was like, wow. I was thinking, I just knew something went right. Do you know what I mean? So then for me to get robbed, but don't forget, this is the fourth time of me getting robbed. Like, this ain't the first, my first rodeo. This is what my career has been. That, start again. That, start again. That, start again. I literally got there and I got that feeling again. And I went, it's not going to happen again. I'm too old. I can't start again.
Who did you have this conversation with?
My coach, my family, and me, everyone. I ever told everyone, don't talk to my MMA. Don't want to know about it again. You know what I mean? And it was literally at the point of no return. And then, can't remember what the turnaround moment was. Like, I think, obviously, the facts of the money that they brought in. And it was like...
So, you signed with the new agency. That obviously was a decision to do... You obviously decided to carry on to sign with a new agency, whereas you just fucked it off. So, there was obviously a decision to keep going. Then they came, then PFL came.
No, because I had the offers myself. The offers came in through WhatsApp, through different organisations, through email. And they just basically come in and said, these are the biggest managers in the world now. Do you know what I mean? And them and Paradigm and, what's you know... That? And
grab, they were, grab us a charger, please. Laptop.
And they were just like, right, well, here's what we can do for you. I can get you this much. We can get you this many fights in this amount of time. One thing I've struggled with my whole career is to get regular fights. And the promise of getting regular fights really lit a fire up my arse. I thought, wow, I can get active. Do you know what I mean? And show the world my skills. And PFL have done that for me. They've put me on the map quick.
Yeah. I think I've said this to a few people. Your ranking's a joke. For me, you're top 10. Easily. And I can make a case probably for top 7 or 8. But because you're ranked way outside of that, there's no benefit to fighting you. If you're a top 25 guy, you go, well, I'm not going to move up by fighting him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in
and
the
he's probably going to fucking beat me. Fuck that. No, someone else.
Well, you know what's good? Next year, I get 5 fights back to back and I get a real good chance to show the world my skills. I've already had 2 this year now for them. And like I said, I didn't lose a round last year. And if I carried it on next year, I'll be sat here with $1 million sat on the table. So
you are going to ask for it in the big comedy check, by the way, aren't you?
Of course.
Right, yeah, good.
That's the,
like
only
the big Adam
way to
Sandler
do it.
Fucking like 3-foot check.
And I want to give another massive shout out to Emiliano Sordi, my boy from Alliance. He got knocked out in the contender, finishing 29 seconds. The next year, come back and starched 5 people on PFL, and now he's a millionaire. And he was at the same point as me. What do I do from here? He got
nailed that quickly as well. But it does happen. I mean, look at Aldo.
It happens, mate.
Happens to the best.
But imagine what it takes to grab your bollocks and start again. And that's what he did, because at least I went and won the fight. He had to fucking lose, go through the whole fact of this was my big chance for the UFC.
Well, yeah, you won, but it still felt like a loss because you didn't get the deal.
Exactly. And for him, big respect to him from Argentina, from a poor country. Do you know what I mean? Like, really had to test his nutsack. And he come back and just won his... Yeah, oh, mate, I was emotional.
Not many PFL, Argentinian fighters either.
PFL videoed me of his reaction and when he won. I was like, he fought a really tough guy. Jordan Johnson, he was on like a 5-fight win streak for the UFC and left to PFL to get more money. And he was fighting Emiliano in the final. And everyone thought Jordan was going to win. And he come out, boxed him up, put him to bed within 2 minutes. And it was an absolutely flawless performance. And that made me emotional, and I related to him. I seen it in his face. I thought, yeah, you've been through what I've been through. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We both got left on that show, and then we both found a new home, and hopefully I can do the same as him next year, or this year, mate. I can't believe it's this year.
Yeah, this year.
And a big, big, massive check saying $1 million. And trust me, PFL want me to win it as well. They do. I could tell. Me and the owner are boys.
This is what's the great thing is about a tournament as well, because like you can see people get had off with title fights, and you have that whole bullshit that we've had with Colby that I find really fucking hard to get my head round. In all honesty,
what did you think of that fight,
mate? Kamaru Usman is a fucking bad man.
He stood in the pocket.
Bad man. Behave yourself. Wow. He fucked his world up. But it was a close fight.
No one's heard a word or a peep out of him, have they?
No. And do you know what? I bet he knew. I bet he knew that he had that coming. I hope he was prepared for that, because a lot of people was very happy to see him lose.
What a fight. Do you think Conor really has a chance against him?
No.
Too big.
I think I've got about as much a chance as him as Conor does.
It's the wrestling,
isn't it? You're getting steamrolled.
Yeah, because you can just switch it to wrestling. That's the problem you've got with them D1 wrestlers, like at that level. Like, they stood and traded for 25, but...
And they're like, I'm bored now.
At any point, I could just double leg you and you're not getting up.
Yeah.
And to have that in your locker. And that's what... That's what I mean. It's he's a tough night for anyone. Him.
Oh,
I told you that story about him. Didn't I, when he fought the Woodley fight and he did all that. You could see it in that fight again. He's got an unbeatable will. Fucking hell.
Let's have a look at the welterweight division.
Leon Edwards. He's the next man in line.
Leon Edwards. It's not the worst shout ever.
Our English man. Did you see someone put an article out about how many we've got in line for next year for titles?
I didn't.
Darren Till could beat Adesanya. So tell you how he could. Look how much he struggled with Gastelum compared to what Till did to Gastelum.
Oh, God, that was all time.
Then Leon Edwards.
Leon Edwards has got a good shout, but I got to probably go with Usman on that. So you got Usman, Woodley. He'll probably get a shot again soon. Obviously,
Masvidal.
He's got to get through fucking Leon Edwards. I mean, if he gets through Leon Edwards, he's got his title shot back, I think. If Leon Edwards beats Tyron Woodley, ooh, mama. Masvidal in the mix. I mean, I think he smokes Nate Diaz. I don't think that's an issue, to be honest. Leon Edwards is ranked fifth. Then look at that, Douglas Lima, RDA. I think it falls off a bit after that, to be honest. I think you're looking at that five, maybe six, maybe Lima's in that conversation, but
Usman, if I can see him clearing up, I don't know, Masvidal. Don't write him off.
Look at these, right? Look, John
he
Fitch,
can wrestle.
John Fitch is 13th.
Nah, like, this must be old, this.
No, this is current.
Wow.
Yo, Rory McDonald's 14th. Like, he slipped there, hasn't he? But that, outside of that, look, Cerrone, 16. Lawler and Burns, and who the fuck is he? So, yeah, I think you could see. But then, you know, someone like an Usman can come from fucking nowhere. You know, who's
Masvidal and Usman's
here?
A good fight.
There's nobody here in the top 20 that's like anywhere close to being undefeated. Everyone's got 5, 6, 7 losses. Look at that, 20 and 7, 30 and 7, 17, 5, 25 and 5. Yeah, Bilal Muhammad, and he's never going to be fucking dealing with a top contention. There's nobody here. I'm popping now down up, to 50th. Yeah. Paul Daly's even in the mix there. 17 and 1, Page.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he's nowhere near them. Like,
nah.
You throw Page in against Leon Edwards, and that is going to be a fucking light night's work for Leon Edwards.
I agree.
Usman. You could have seen Usman at the top for a long ass time. How does Leon beat Usman?
I think Leon's full MMA game is incredible. What really done it for me with Leon Edwards is when he fought Albert Tumanoff. I was a big fan of Albert Tumanoff, and the way he dismantled him, took him down and submitted him, I was like, wow, this kid's for real. And watch him go from strength to strength, he's been a joy to watch. And I just think it's his time. I think people have time, and I think he's done his apprenticeship. And the first fight was very close with Usman. And I think now, I mean, it's hard to see Usman lose after that last performance. Really hard to see him lose. But
I think he was going to be an absolute tap in for it anyway. I mean, I thought actually Colby made it more competitive than I thought it was going to be. I thought Usman was going to smoke.
25 minutes, two wrestlers still in the pockets, swinging at each other. It was mad. What an event.
I don't think it was the most memorable moment of last year in the UFC, though, because I think that belongs to Adesanya.
Which bit?
That fucking walkout.
What, against Whitaker?
Yeah. Oh.
Who's he got? Oh, Romero. How'd you see that?
I don't know. Romero can turn up and like stink the place out or look like the Hulk, can't he? I mean, literally.
What is he now, though? 43, 44 years old?
Is he?
Does he know how old he is?
I don't know. Is he? Is he? I don't fucking know.
That's the only thing with him. Like, he's a bit inconsistent, isn't he?
That's
that
it.
Costa's a monster too, though.
Oh, God. Yeah, that.
Hey, I wouldn't want to be the champion at middleweight. You know, they've got
middleweight. It's just like that's looking over your shoulder and going, Jesus Christ!
You must have nightmares at night, inmate, thinking, "Wow, Costa and Romero staring down the barrel."
The confidence to come out the way he came out against Whitaker like that, though, mate. Can you imagine you do a dance thing?
So
like
tell you
that?
Why, though.
You ever, like, let me put you in that situation. You come out and do that fucking dance.
Do you know the reason I think he did that, though? I'll be honest. How long had Rob not fought in? One and number two. It's a striker versus striker match. He knows Rob's not going to take him down. Look at the difference in Romero. He knows if he gets hold of him, I'm going to be under pressure.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he does a fucking mad dance routine going out for Romero.
Gastelum had him down on the floor, like a lot of people have took him down.
Do you know what? Romero's got this unbelievable pedigree for wrestling.
And doesn't use it,
Doesn't use it. It's just a threat. It's just like, it's in my top pocket in case I need it.
Just does this. But every now and then he'll just blast double you. out the cage. It's fucking
It's like he remembers halfway through, isn't it? And be like, oh, I can do that, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 do that, do that.
Him and Costa fight was ridiculous.
That was like a superhero, like what they called.
I like to see Adesanya tested properly. I'm not 100% on him yet. I want to see him against a good wrestler.
You got to see him against a guy that walks out in a singlet with ear guards on.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
Like, strike. He's not even got gloves on.
I want to see. Yeah, striking for striking. I don't think there's a better striker in the UFC right now. Just pure striking. But when it's full MMA, let's see how you do with Costa and Romero.
Who we got there? Let's have a look. Who's going to be the man there? What wrestlers have we got that are just going to fucking take him off his feet?
Romero.
Nobody in the top 10 there, really.
Romero and Costa, in it, really.
Yeah, I mean, Machida's still 11th. Oh, what the fuck? Weidman.
No chance. Go on, Scott Ashcombe. 15th in the world. I'm telling you about these English.
Scott Ashcombe in the mixer there, yeah.
It was a very good year for the English, you know.
It was.
It was a very, very, very good year for
Shlemko,
the English.
Fucking 58 wins and 13 defeats. Yeah, someone who's Russian as fuck is just going to come in there and just put him on his ass. I can see that. I can definitely see that. I mean, let's just have a look. Can we separate it by Russia? Region and country. Eastern Europe. That the Russians? Yeah. Here we go. Russian as fuck. Nah, not even anyone mad in there. Nah, there's nobody in there that you're thinking.
Nah, it's basically Yo Romero and him are fighting for who's the best right now.
Yeah. Some absolute maniacs.
What date is that one? Check that out. Oh, there's some tasty, tasty ones coming up, you know.
Is that on... Ngannou against Rozenstruik. That's in Columbus. Greg Hardy. Don't get the deal with him, to be honest.
What do you mean?
I just can't really take to him. What's this we've got? This is the 0-2 one. That's a shit card, isn't it? Lerone's on it.
Yeah. Well, that's a dead card, isn't it? Look at it. Darn it.
Who's the headline? Molly McCann, Ashley. No one at the minute. What? Well, there's nobody on there at the minute. John Phillips is on there. I like him. Paul Craig. It's not a good card, that, is it? When's that?
Go down.
That's March. The fucking that state of that card already, it's March.
Cases on there.
Oh, shit, where? Darby. Oh, they've not put him in there, Roberts. Have they? They've not put him in the top bit, that's
Darby
why.
Darby and Roberts is a great fight. Wow, what a
Stevie Ray and Dear Case is an interesting fight, but
I agree.
Like, and Danny Roberts.
Amir Khani and Grundy, good fight. They need a big American.
That's not a bad one,
They need... When are we going to get
that's what you want. Is you want someone that's going to come out like Grundy's going to come out for Adesanya and just see what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Someone's like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, so we can see the full... Yeah, you're right. They need a big headliner for that.
Johnny Walker's fighting 170 in Brazil. Paige Van Zandt's fighting in Brazil. Against another fucker without a what's it. Where's this? This is T-Mobile.
Who's fighting Kanye?
That Weili Zhang against Joanna. Jared Cannonier against Rob Wicker.
Sean O'Malley back.
Dariush is fighting. Stevens. Magnus fighting. Why aren't they putting these up in there? The announced bouts aren't getting up into the... What's it? That's a fucking dead card in Virginia. That's a fucking dead card. Felder and Hooker. There's fucking no one there, is there? It's in New Zealand.
That'll be why.
There's not much on that one. Corey Anderson against Jan Blachowicz. It's not bad. Outside of that, not much.
Tell me about...
Diego Sanchez still fighting. What's going on with that?
Tell me about how your experience was going over to the IMAFs.
Mint.
I've not even seen you since then. Go on. How was it? Tell me.
Right, do you want the part where we got taken to the guy who owns a bank's private restaurant at the top of the fucking, equivalent of the Twin Towers?
How did it come about? What? They just contacted you and said, for media and...
Yeah, he said, do you want to come? So bring you in a cameraman. And I was like, yeah.
And what did you get footage over there? Did you?
We did like a bit of a, what I'd call like a match of the day style wrap up every day.
Okay.
Got highlights.
Oh, sweet.
It was good. We got highlights.
Where can people see that?
On here, on MMA Latest.
Oh, sweet.
So we got some of them. Got some decent interviews. I got a decent vlog. There's a really good fucking scene in it, actually, where Mokaev's just won the world title.
Yeah.
A I've just give Dean a big fucking hug, and then Mokaev comes out of the cage and gives us a big hug as well. So yeah, it's a brilliant little scene, actually.
Yeah.
That fight between them two. Have you seen the little edit that IMAF did afterwards?
No.
Of them two?
No.
I'll show you in a bit. It's fantastic. Really edited well to the music, followed them both in the warm-up.
Nice.
There's no commentary on it, it's just music, and it's just like the highlights of the fight. Really, brilliant. Really fucking like...
Imagine being that poor Japanese kid getting done twice in the fight.
Wakes up in the... three times he's done him, I think, now.
Oh, nightmares. Nightmares. Getting
just wakes up screaming, fucking Russians!
Fucking whammied again. No.
Good fighter, though. Do you know what? He got tested by a...
Didn't he get caught with Kazakhstani. His knee or something?
He got sat down, didn't he, in his second fight? Yeah. Well, yeah, did he? He got... the guy hit him with... He hit him with a number two and an uppercut. Just like that was the two was the no jab, no setup, nothing. Bang. Just fucking hit him with a two and then followed him with an uppercut and put him down.
Shows his resilience and the champion's mindset.
Fucking
really
does
it.
And, you know, he's fought four times or whatever it was in the week to get to the final. Day off before the final, but like basically on consecutive days.
Fucking
and up. Making weight on consecutive days. It was a fucking brilliant, like. There's some fighters there where I go, I'm going to see you as a UFC champion one day. Yeah. You, obviously Mo. Like there was times in that fight against Rayo. I think it was Rayo, the Japanese guy. Who had he pissed off? I think it was either the Italians or the Kazakhs. He pissed off one of them lot or something. So they was booing him and stuff. So through the cage. He's going like this to him while he's holding the Japanese guy down. He's giving the ear to him.
Go on.
And then he was saying stuff to the corner because he was in the Japanese guy's corner and then like fucking suplex him and stuff. And you're just like, what are you doing, man? This is a world title fight and you are taking the piss.
How long was you out there for?
A week.
A week?
6 days.
What's after?
Yeah, it was great. It was absolutely. But apart from we got there the first night and he gave us a room, we were sharing a room with someone. And both rooms were occupied. We got there at 1 a.m. It's a long ass fucking day of travel. But we sorted it out.
What's Bahrain like? Nice.
Yeah, it was good. It was beautiful weather. Didn't really get to see much of the sun because you're in an indoor arena all day long. I think we watched 390 fights in a week.
Wow.
You can remember like three.
Was all the other UK reporters out there as well?
Reptiles came.
Yeah. I was out in San Diego with them.
Was you?
They did a little documentary on us.
Oh, nice.
Terry Brazier.
Yeah, I don't really know the guys, but they was out there. I think that might have been it from UK media. Obviously, Dre was out there with some of the lads. I think he was working for IMAF, actually.
Okay.
Doing some bits with what they was doing. There was a lot of media from Russia. Like, Russia and Kazakhstan seems to spend, like... I think the country spends a lot of money on it, so the country's got a lot of vested interest in what they do. Like, the Russian team trials and the way all that works is outrageous.
I've heard.
The Kazakhs.
Mahmoud was explaining it to us when he was on Money about how serious it is.
Mate, there was this. There's a young. I don't know.
How did English do overall?
Very well, actually. I think we got two golds, maybe three.
Who else? What?
There's a young girl in the juniors won. Another girl in the juniors won. Obviously Mo won. I think there's another one.
Where are they from? You know?
No, not sure.
No.
But there was a Kazakh girl. I don't know if she was young or not, actually, but there was a Kazakh girl. It was like a fucking ninja, mate. Like, she would kick you in the fucking belly, chest and face without putting a foot down and you're like, what is going on? Yeah, like there was some skills on there. Like I wish you could have come.
I know. Actually. Next year we'll have got a bit of time. What month is it?
No, it's always in November.
Okay.
But I think Mo's fighting.
Doing it again?
He's fighting at the Euros, he's fighting at the Oceanas, and he's fighting at the Americans. He's going to enter all of their competitions, even though he's UK-based, obviously.
Madness.
He's going to enter the Oceanic, the Asian.
So he's still staying amateur then, Mo?
I reckon about another year, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine. And, you know, I had a bit of a chat to Dean. I don't think I'm giving any trade secrets away here. They said, you know, if he stays junior, I think they're going to want him to... hinder himself a little. So if he's going to stay junior, like, we're going to knock people out then.
Yeah.
We're not going to just wrestle people. Got, yeah. If you go seniors, well, yeah, just fucking take him down and fucking free round it, yeah. So, and I think that's a good idea, you know, test him, because we know he's the fucking absolute pound for pound number one junior. So let's fucking see. So I don't know if he's going to stay juniors. I don't know if he's made that decision yet, whether to go junior. Cause fucking 19, man. 19 and 21 and 0.
It's gone scary, hasn't it?
It's ridiculous. But... you will see other fighters out there where you go, like...
unbelievable,
I mean,
levels.
Most pound for pound number one, but you go, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, what is this game? This game is changing. And there is some people in there that are
it's
just
the fastest growing sport in the world, and it still is to this day, and it has been for the last 5 years.
There's a young lady, I think it was Michelle Montague from New Zealand, who won gold. Fucking hell. Like, just terrifying. Terrifying. There's a young Malaysian chick that's terrifying. Just like, what the fuck is this?
Even like to the point where I was fit on FaceTime to Kane before, and the sheer numbers at Tiger now, the amount of fighters now that there is, it's like they're 10 to a penny, mate. Yeah. Like, you have a look, like you say that, IMFs. Bro, when I first started, you had to go and get a VHS tape from Danny's in town just to find any form of MMA. A little tape there to put in your VHS.
Mate, you got to be watching for these Russians, though. Eastern Europe, Kazakh, Russia. Bulgaria didn't have a great showing at the Worlds, but Kazakhstan and Russia were essentially in every final. Basically, Dagestan and Kazakhstan, which is next door, essentially. Yeah, yeah. Basically, that was just...
They were battling off all the way. Who won the whole team thing?
Might have been Bahrain, which is Dagestan. For being real.
I've heard about this. That's funny, bro.
I'm going to move swiftly on. Yeah. But Kazakhstan was a fucking gangster team. And Russia was a gangster team. Like, there was quite a few of the Russians that was Russian finals. And some of them had said they weren't going to compete. They just said, right, he's won, I'm not turning up. So they get a silver date. They didn't want to fight each other. And you're like, how the fuck did he decide?
Well, I know, he's getting the gold and he's getting the silver.
Yeah, a bit rum that. But there was a lot of Russia fights in the finals. So you're like, you've got to get ready, and you've got to get ready for that fucking Russian style of
grappling. Oh, I know, I know. I know. I mean, listen, I ain't no stranger to how good the Russians are. I've been in Thailand and trained with the top Russians, and there's a lot of Russian guys in that tournament too. So I understand the level of Dagestani wrestling, the level of tenacity that these guys are, but... Listen, mate, I've had arms hanging off and carried on. I'm in the same boat as them, the same level experience as them, and I'm ready to take it to them levels. It's just that a lot of people aren't. You have to be really ready to fight these guys. You have to have a good level of wrestling, a good pedigree of wrestling to be able to get your ass up, and if you aren't, you'll get pulled into deep waters. You'll get
mollywop, yeah. There's so many people that just didn't have that ability to get back up, and even those that you thought might have the ability to get back up, especially when it's like Russia fighting Russia, and they're both coming in as wrestlers. One of them's just totally dominated the other one. You're like, fuck me, if he can't even get up.
I know.
And like, you're looking at him and you go, you're Dagestani as fuck. Yeah. Like, and you're struggling with Dagestani wrestling.
Yeah, they'll put you in deep waters and take you soul.
Will they? Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think you'll find it mega interesting just on the sheer exposure to combat that you see. Like, the pure amount of fights. I mean, you stand there, there's three cages. Just and it's just people coming out and fucking rumbling and then fucking
It's good to watch, and I'm just so glad how far the sport's come now.
It's insane.
We're past the caveman days, thank God, and now it's a professional sport. The Olympics is the next one. So with a bit of luck now, we will get
to that's what I'm after working towards, is the Olympic plan.
Let's hope so.
One day,
We do need that. We need the Olympics, mate, we do, because that's...
I wonder where that would be.
That'll make it an official
Which
sport.
Which one are they targeting? They're targeting 2028, I think, aren't they? Let's have a look where that is.
What is it now?
We're in 2020, mate.
No, I mean, what's the next one, I mean?
Japan this year.
Oh, is it? Olympics this year?
Olympics.
Belting.
20.
Love when the Olympics is on telly.
It is... LA. Ooh.
It's in LA. Ooh. My hometown.
What?
another one. Here's another one. I've got another story for you. This is a good one. So, I went back to Freddie Roach's.
So I was
back training there. So me and my mate have gone down. So I'm chatting to Freddie again. I said, look, I'm after some rounds again. I've got a fight coming up. But obviously I waited till I was fit, because you ain't going in wild card and getting rounds, mate, unless you're ready.
Yeah, how nervous are you going in there to ask Freddie Roach?
Well, this is the God's honest truth for this story, right? So...
Manny Pacquiao, have you heard of him?
I know, yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe
don't
not.
Get dashed in with him. So he said, come back on Wednesday, it's sparring day. So I said, sweet. Came back, but I was about 4 weeks out. I don't know if you know the picture that I posted, but pull that picture up off my Instagram. It's a funny one, so I can show everyone. Wednesday, I turn up there. We go in, it's sparring day. And it's kind of like you pick your partner kind of day. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're all warming up and they just kind of look at all your sizes, and it's not made official to like who you're going to spar or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So me and Tom have gone down, me mate. Next thing, I'm in there, and this Ukrainian guy, Go down. I've got to put a picture on with him. Let me get him up. 2012 Olympics, got a bronze.
There's Freddie. Is it around here?
A bit further up. Anyway, so I've gone in. This kid's in the ring. He's already sparring. I've gone in to warm up. Anyway, he stops this kid. As me face after the spar. Have a look.
When's this?
Right.
This last month?
It's about 2 weeks before the fight.
You fucking idiot.
So going. Anyway.
Send this through to producer. Who's a live producer? You don't know how to do it, do you?
Right, so okay. I'm sparring this. So anyway, this Ukrainian kid, he's in the ring. He's sparring this Mexican guy. He's proper all over this Mexican guy, mate. Like to the point where he stopped. He didn't stop him on punches. The kid just went like, you know what? When they're fighting Lomachenko, and they go,
yeah, fuck this noise.
It was one of them after a round and a half. Now I'm in the ring, and the other ring, I'm warming up, and with me, mate. Now this was another.
We'll throw up on a screen for you guys in a second.
This was another ball check moment, like, how bad do you want this, right? I didn't need to spar that guy. I could have got on with my little session in the bag in the corner and just no one would have said a word. No one come up to me and said, do you want to spar him? But I'm watching him. I'm watching how good he was looking.
Hey, what's going on, guys? From it's Jimmy Stratton. You're listening to MMAladiesNews.com.
I don't know how I'm playing the intro behind it.
So anyway, I'm in the corner and I thought, you know what? Fucking hell. But I'm looking at him thinking, mate, what if you just get sparked in here in front of everyone?
Which
could have happened. My mate was on the cross trainer looking at me and he was like, it's going to be heavy that. And I went, he walked past me. Bear in mind, I don't know this guy.
Look at your eye.
And I've gone like, at him, I've gone, do you want to do some rounds, mate? Like open he did here, do you want to do some rounds, mate? So he's gone, yeah, yeah. He looked at me and he went, yeah, yeah, sweet. Let's jump in, mate.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah.
So anyway,
no
jumped
problem.
In. Didn't even have an head guard on now. I had to put Freddie's thing. Freddie's there. So we're sparring, coming out. Anyway, it was top movement. I'll show you the rounds. I've got the rounds on my phone. So he's in and out. Bop, 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 bop. Thing with these Ukrainians, he's southpaw and they've all got the same style. They just move in and out the pocket like, bop, 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 bop. So anyway, we're about two rounds in, three rounds, and I'm giving just as good as I'm getting, but I'd say he's overcoming the rounds, you know what I mean? You could tell he's a boxer, he's experienced. And then, mate, 4, 5, 6, I just come alive. He started slowing down, and I thought, how are you slowing down, thank God? And then by the end, mate, we're just stood in the middle of the ring, levering each other.
2 weeks out from your fight?
Yeah,
bell end.
It happens. Don't it? Nah, what? As a fighter, you need them hard ones sometimes, just as you don't actually. But in my head, I thought I needed it.
Do you know what? One of the things that I would ask Dom about, because I think he's literally like Yoda for MMA in my eyes,
yeah,
would be when is the time to go match pace? Because you need to get to match pace to know that you've got match pace.
Exactly. That's why I went
when,
to why. Yeah, that's
when
why.
When is match pace? Because obviously you do need to know that you've got that ability. And you also probably need to train at match pace pretty often. Otherwise, when the bell goes, if you're coming out in first gear, it's not really the fucking thing. You do need to be able to have that fucking...
Well, here's the difference. That first fight in October, I didn't spar once because I had the cut on my eye, didn't I? So I didn't get to spar at all. And the second fight, all I did was spar. And I think my performance from the first fight to the second fight was much better. And I think when you don't spar, you lose confidence in your ability to take a shot. You lose focus on what it's like to be in a firefight. Like, I know a lot of people say sparring's not the most important. I think it fucking is. When you're getting close to a fight, I think hard spars, it brings you alive and lets you know you... I don't know. At the end of the day, we're going into a fight and fighting's the only way to get ready for a fight, really. You can run as many rolls as you want. You can hit as many pads and bags as you want, but I don't know. I'm old school and I felt like... That brought me alive, that spar, and I knew I did six rounds with a fucking high-level boxer, and I was in a firefight for six rounds, and it made me realise, I'm ready now. I left that spar going, I had my black eye, pulsed a black eye, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, 2 weeks out, I've got a big black eye, I ain't cutting
there
no corners.
There might be something psychological in that as well, that you've thrown up like, yeah, I'm going hard, mate. Like,
I turned up at
out.
Freddie Roach's gym and sparred one of his top guys, mate, and didn't give a fuck about what happened. And that's like sometimes as a fighter.
Okay. Let's not do much more of that.
I know. You've got to have a nut check moment, though. I had a nut check moment. I drove to a gym that was 2.5 hours away to spar a random guy with no one there, and anything could have happened. And
anything could
they're
happen.
The sort of things that separate me from the other people, because how many more people would have done that? They wouldn't have. This is their own craft. That's what they do all day, every day. And I knew that I was out my depth, really. This isn't what I do, but I wanted to test myself at that level. And, you know, I'm glad I did it. Don't take it back. And it's what a great experience it was. The guy was sound as fuck. Me and him are top mates now. Mm. Went Instagram, and I will be going out to train with him again. He's my weight. And the shit he was doing, mate, when I was sparring him, it was... I'll show you after, but the way he was able to come in and out of space, mate...
You got to learn it.
He's telling me he's Lomachenko's teammate back in the day, and telling me how they used to train, and how when they're told to be southpaws, they're taught to be southpaws. When they first learn boxing at this age, they are told, right, it's an automatic advantage to be a southpaw, so you're going to be a southpaw.
Wow.
Yeah, and they teach them from a young age that you're a southpaw. You don't have a choice in the matter. And the way they move in and out. You see Lomachenko, but yeah, that's exactly how they all fight. They've got their own style of boxing.
Mate.
It's like, brilliant.
When fucking Crawler was like, yeah, I'm thinking about fighting Lomachenko, I was like, we might need a chat. Yeah, but then you realise how much you got paid for it, and you're like, yeah, go fight Lomachenko.
Prize fighter.
Yeah, fucking do it.
What's the prize?
Yeah, when I spoke to him afterwards, and he was like, do you know, you know there's levels.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he was
yeah.
like, fucking.
I was at that fight. I was at that fight in LA, and yeah, there was levels. Big love to Crawler, though, for the stuff that he's done for this sport and Manchester, and to go out there and even fight him. And Linares twice.
So let's get him on here, actually. Let's get him on here. Because, yeah. You know, he's fighting out of Manchester. He's fucking about he's as big as a fucking... And he ain't doing fuck all nowadays anyway, chilling, so he'll get on here. Right, and yeah. We'll text you.
Yes, son.
Well, yeah, so let's get him on. Let's get fucking old Tyson on as well.
That'd be great.
See if he'll fucking come on for you, because he didn't come on for me.
Yeah, I'll give him a message.
Because that'd be a big one. That'd bring some fucking numbers in for us, wouldn't it? Yeah. Do you want the old Gypsy King on? When's he fighting?
We'd love to have the Gypsy King on.
He's fighting soon.
Yeah, nah, he's busy, isn't he?
Yeah, but
he's got a big task on
his hands. He does have to do press too, so he might be able to fucking do it.
He's got a really big task on his hand.
Is he rematching Wilder? Is he rematching Wilder? Yeah. Oh, my days.
Yeah, he's rematching February.
Oh, shit, that's a bit close to that.
Yeah, February.
Let me see if we can get him on. How young does he look there?
Still young, mate. Isn't he only 30 or something? 31.
Bollocks, is he?
He is.
31, what? How's he only 31? He's been around on the scene for fucking 35 years. What are you talking about?
He's in the tank, in, mate. Ready to go.
Yeah, 22nd of February, MGM Grand Garden Arena.
I know. Another one with a massive set of balls.
Oh, mate. Wilder is another fucking human. What... It's not even fair how fucking hard he punches, is it?
He's a swinger, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's not bad at it. Look at him. Let's have a look at his fucking
record. Nah, this is stupid, his record.
Right, 43 fights, 42 wins, 41 people left on a fucking stretcher.
It's terrifying, you know. It's terrifying. They're terrifying stats, by the way. That's what I'm saying about Fury and his balls. Come on, then.
He's
lad.
An interesting
on,
guy.
Straight
he's
in.
A fucking interesting guy as well. Like, I mean, when he got to 300 pounds, and was like, yeah, I just started running. You shouldn't be at 300 pounds. How about that, for starters?
Fair play to him.
Fucking hell.
That's what I'm saying. People like him, Crawler, and all that, all these Manchester fighters, and we, Callum Smith, even, I know he's a scouser, but mate,
how many Smiths is he in Liverpool? About
he's
going to
do
22.
A lot this year.
There's loads of them, isn't there?
Apparently, he's going to fight Canelo, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think we need to sit him down as well. I think.
Nah, mate, we don't need to sit him down. He's that good. No, he's that good.
Canelo.
Callum Smith is...
Oh,
if anyone's going to give him a fight, mark my words, save this. I'm going to cut this out on YouTube. Callum Smith to beat Canelo this year.
Right, okay, I'm going to say this. Come take a seat. Like,
save it. Nah, listen, realistically, it's a very tough fight, but if anyone's got a chance, I think Callum Smith is our hope to beat him.
Fucking hell.
He's a brilliant... Like
Canelo
had have you watched him?
Yeah, but Canelo had about 400 fights before he was 9, didn't he?
He's like, a lot bigger than Canelo, a lot bigger, a lot ranger.
That might help.
He's, you know, he's had to go... Canelo would have to go up a weight to fight him, but he's, as we've seen in the past, when Canelo goes up, it don't really matter, does it?
No.
Still ironed you out.
Oh,
but
God, he's so
good. I think Callum's really good at using his range for 12 rounds, and like I say, it's a very tough mountain to climb.
We should have my mate Alex Dimagani on here soon as well. He's been absolutely tearing it up on Channel 5 lately, and I think he's going for a world title as well this year. He's a 135er in boxing, whatever. Lovely. That is that junior bantamweight or some fucking thing. I've no idea on the weights in boxing. It's
me either.
Just not a fucking clue.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think he's at 135, something like that. So, or 130. So, we'll get him on and have a chat to him because there's a lot of similarities between the both of you. He fucked off to Mexico. He got invited.
I've not heard of him. What's his name?
Dil Magani. He's
Dil.
Alex Dil Magani.
Oh, Alex Dil Magani.
So, I'll pull him up. I think he's Iranian, actually. I'm sure he's having a fucking great week.
He went to Mexico to train.
So, he was, I think he was 4-0. He was signed to Hatton. I'll just pull up his thing here so you have a look. So, he was signed with Hatton. When Hatton Boxing just signed, like, every fucker. So, he was signed to Hatton Boxing, and he was, like, 4-0. He was fighting in all, like, leisure centres and stuff around here. So, you know, go and watch him and that. And then he got an offer because he's a southpaw and he's got a very aggressive step in. But when he hits you with a jab, he throw like a couple, two, three combos when he's in there. But he doesn't necessarily have that in and out that someone like Pacquiao has. But he's got the in. So I can see someone's looked at his style and they've gone, right, one Manuel Marquez is fighting Pacquiao. Who are we going to get as sparring partners? So they got him in, 4-0. Young English kid, or you know, Iranian, but you know, lives in England. And he's cockney as fuck as well. So like, let's get him in. At least he'll replicate some aspects. Because if you're not going Pacquiao, Pacquiao. Are you? So like, let's get him in, do some rounds with Marquez. So he said, "What's the Showtime fucking 24/7? Whatever the fucking behind the scenes is, all the cameras are there. He's at." I can't remember the guy's name. It's Oscar De La Hoya's coach, that really famous gym in Mexico City.
Yeah.
They're training out of there. And he said, they're having a little bit of a fucking spar. And Marquez swings for a hook. He ducks underneath, rolls it and fucking goes boom and puts him down. And he was like, oh no. Because he goes,
on Showtime.
The Showtime cameras was there.
Yeah, but
he goes, and there's like 200 people in the gym. And he's like, oh, they're going to bury me in the fucking desert. He's like, this is bad news, isn't it? And he goes, someone walked in and said, take your gear off. Go and sit in the office. And he's like, oh, shit.
What do you mean?
He's like, I'm getting fucking murdered, Anna. And he goes, and De La Hoya, and I'm sure it's called Ignacio or something like
signed
that.
Signed him.
They went, you need to move to Mexico now. And he was like, okay. So he moved to Mexico. He did about 6 years. He was doing a law degree in England and he would fly back and do a few lectures and then fly back to fucking Mexico as fought.
What a story.
Tons of times in Mexico. Well, the fact that he went, okay, I went, you're going to be a world champion because the mentality to go, fuck it, sound. And I'll try and find some video that we can see.
Okay,
that, I think, is the gym in Mexico, actually.
That's fast, isn't it?
Oh, mate, he's fucking sharp. Let me draw. There's got to be some footage on here. There has to be some. Let's see if that one's got some.
So he's back in England now?
Yeah, he's back in England.
Why have we not heard of him?
Because there's no one fucking promoting him. If he got with Earn or someone like that, you'd know all about him, wouldn't you? He's fucking good. He is fucking good. He will be a world champion.
Still young?
Mid-20s, I would say, I think.
Okay.
So, good age, ready to take the fucking world by storm, I think.
Lovely.
Absolute fucking animal. That Mexican fucking relentless and like
they've taught him that. They've drawn that into
nasty fucking like streak. Yeah, he's got that. He's gonna be a big deal. So we'll get Al on.
Lovely. Yeah, I'd love that.
He's a fucking
I'd
absolute.
Love to hear his gym stories from Mexico. Mate.
Can you imagine?
I've trained in Mexico myself.
So he went and lived out there, living in like the absolute shithole fucking favelas and stuff like that.
That's what
and
it just takes.
Became a Mexican fighter. Essentially, trained like a Mexican fighter.
Well, look out for that one, people.
Look at that. Right. Just go and check out his Instagram. But look at this one here. What the fucking hell?
Very sharp.
Lovely. So, there. So, should we wrap it up there?
Yeah.
Are we having it
good
next week?
See you again. Happy New Year. Next week, same time.
Halloween. Let's birthday, do it. Everything. Fucking nice one.
It's great to be back.
See you next week. Ta-da.
Balsa.